Okay, today is August the 29th, 2013. And before we begin, I have a few announcements, I guess you could say. This is the second night that we are live streaming to folks wherever they may be. And if you're out there listening, you may hear a buzzing sound. We don't know what to do about that yet, and we don't have video yet, but tomorrow they are supposed to install HughesNet broadband high-speed internet here, which means, if everything goes well, Sunday we will have a live video going out to everyone. You can live stream the video and the audio. Now, our church service will probably start around 10 minutes to 11. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be here at that time. We'll be here at our normal time at 10:30. But we're actually going to start streaming at 10:50, which a lot of our time is going to be taken up singing, announcements, doing the offering, and so forth. And I don't know how we're going to work this out exactly. I was talking to Dr. Jim today, and see, he is on this same, this is his broadband thing, or this is his show. And they have church until 10:45. And so he has to be off of it for us to be able to be on it. So if you're talking to someone that is interested in seeing it for the first, it'll be our first time ever live stream with video and audio. Hopefully we'll have that if we get hooked up tomorrow. Then it will start at 10:50, okay? And tonight we only have the audio, and it's got the buzzing or whatever, at least I'm told that, and I hope it's not too distracting. I told Dr. Jim today, I said, well, I can just not get on and wait until we have it. He said, oh no, get on. He says, always, if there's a choice, get on. And so I hope it won't be too distracting. I hope you can hear me. I guess we will hear later on. There's a lot more things that are happening. The Lord is just opening doors all over the place for this ministry, but I don't have time to tell you now, and everything is not exactly nailed down, but we all need to pray that the Lord will open those doors, make it clear to us, so that we can be good and faithful servants and get the word out. It's incumbent not only on me as a pastor, but indeed for all of us, because we are all ambassadors. So let's prepare ourselves this evening in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, the option of naming privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of your grace, another day that we're looking forward to our Savior to return and sort this whole mess out. And we will be taken away, and we just can't wait until we are able to see our Savior face to face. We thank you for this time we have in the meantime, that we are to stand firm for the faith and stand for righteousness. We have so many opportunities. But we need to be well prepared, and we have to have the knowledge that we know what we're doing. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this evening. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, And we'll start again on verse 9, at least to read where Paul takes up another sentence. His first sentence ended at verse 8. It was 175 words long. This one is shorter. It's only 120 words long. So we'll start with verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for attaining of all the steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So, I'm going to show you on the board our current passage, which is verse 11 and 12. Now, we've already spent some time on strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. We emphasize the fact that we are all weaklings when it comes to the spiritual life. We have no power. We have to depend on God's power because it is God that gets the glory, not us. We get the blessing, He gets the glory. For attaining of all steadfastness and patience, you'll remember that steadfastness has to do with enduring in trials, whereas patience, sometimes called long-suffering, has to do with our interaction with difficult people. We have to be long-suffering. That means we have to suffer long. It means that we have to hold our temper for a long time. Then we went into joyously giving thanks to the Father. And as I scroll down in a moment to get to where we're actually going to start tonight, you're going to see a lot of words that are in red that has to do with being joyful and giving thanks. It's imperative that we have a proper appreciation for who God is and what He does for us now, what He's done for us in the past, and what He's going to do for us in the future. I think that's a pretty good barometer of where we are, spiritually speaking, is what kind of gratitude do we have. And I think if we have the proper gratitude towards God, we will also have the proper gratitude towards others as well. And that's sorely lacking in our society today because everybody takes things for granted. So, what we're going to concentrate on tonight is this phrase that you see in red, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance. We will not get to the last part of this, of the saint in light. I can assure you of that. But we are going to see what is it talking about, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance. See all these words I was talking about that has to do with being thankful, singing with thankfulness, giving thanks. We looked at the different words that are of the same family that has to do with joyously and thanks and grace. And so tonight we're starting here. This is lesson 20. To give thanks in difficulty and trial means we are oriented to the plan of God for our lives. And remember where we came from up here? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And there's not a person here that I'm looking at, nor that are hearing over the internet, that can say, well, I always do that. Because if you do that, if you say that, I'm very suspicious that you might be breaking one of the commandments. I believe y'all know which one it is. None of us can say we always give thanks regardless of what happens. Most of us are doing good when we give thanks for the blessings that God gives us, for all the wonderful things. So often we forget even to thank Him for that. But how many of us thank Him for the adversity, for the unpleasant things that happen in our life? How many of us do that? Well, none of us do it as we should. And by the way, this is not a suggestion. This is a command. Now, you can force yourself to say the words when the battery is dead and the car won't start. You can train yourself to say, "Thank you, Lord, for this test." But if you don't mean it, don't say it. Because again, you get down to that same commandment again, don't we? So, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to say it and mean it. And that's where God wants us to be. And I don't know, I know I'm not there yet. I would hope to aspire to that. I don't know how many years, months, or days, or weeks, or hours, or minutes I have left. But I need quite a bit of time to get to that point. But we can do it. Why? Why can we do it? Because we're not depending on our power, we're depending on His. And He can qualify us to do that. So, to give thanks in difficulty and trial means we are oriented to the plan of God for our lives. This means we orient to the eternal and not the temporal. We should be looking at life through the eyes of eternity. We should see things from a perspective that is an eternal perspective. Here we have it in two different versions in red. This is what we're concentrating on this evening. Who has qualified us to share in the inheritance? Now, that's in the New American Standard Version. In the New King James Version, New King James Bible, who has qualified us to be partakers in the inheritance? How many times have we heard that word partakers? Now, the word here, partakers, isn't the one that we usually are familiar with when we think of being partakers, which is metakoi. That's in the plural, partakers. That means we want to be partners with God. We want to partake of everything that is available for us in time as well as in eternity. And if you're going to be a partaker, then it means that you're going to have to know something. And that's why we're here. At least it's one reason we're here. And that is so that we can grow to the point to where we can give thanks in all things because we have a personal sense of eternal destiny. We're thinking beyond just the now, the today, the tomorrow, next week, next month. When you start living your life in such a way and making decisions that are not based on just the circumstances that are at hand, but based on what you can see, what you can foresee in the future, then you're on the right track. Not many believers do that. And yet, that's what we need to do. God the Father has qualified us for heaven through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. In other words, all three members of the Trinity has qualified us for heaven. Each one has done a particular part. They have also received a magnificent inheritance. That means that we also have that. That potential. We are qualified to receive an inheritance, but not deserving. There's a difference between being qualified and being deserving. Are you qualified? Well, hopefully before this evening, you'll know more about whether you are or whether you're not. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God." You will never be qualified to inherit the great things that God has for us until you understand this. In ourselves, we are adequate for what? Zilch. Flat line. Nothing. In and of ourselves. I mean, we're talking about in the spiritual realm. But our adequacy is from God. In other words, if you want to inherit the great things that God has promised to some, not all, but to some, then you have to recognize that you will never be able to be adequate by your own labor, by your own works, by your own merit. It can't happen that way. In other words, another way to say this is if you're not grace-oriented, forget about ever having inheritance in heaven. You have to be grace-oriented, recognizing that every good gift, every perfect gift, and every good thing comes from God. We don't earn it or deserve it. Isn't it nice to know that we don't have to earn God's blessing? If we did, we would be trying to compete with one another. And that's another thing that is never required of us. Not only is it not required, it's good that we don't compete. We're all on the same team. But if God says, okay, this is a competition, and those who work harder and are more dedicated, they're going to get more blessing because it's based on what you do. Can you see how we would be competing? And the only thing wrong with that is, where's the grace? There's no grace in that. So the first thing in being qualified to share in an inheritance is to be grace-oriented and recognize that it comes from God and it's not dependent upon us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure. What is the treasure? I have it in brackets. Knowledge of the glory of God. We know that God has extended His glory and is willing to have church-age believers to share in the glory of Christ. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What are these? Not the clothes. What are these? Aren't they earthen vessels? What are they made out of? Dirt, right? I mean, you can say minerals and all the other elements, but essentially, we're living in earthen vessels. And what happens to earthen vessels? They wear out, don't they? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. In other words, what Paul is telling the Corinthians is we have a treasure in earthen vessels. Now, our bodies are it's miraculous how our bodies work. But they're limited. Compared to angels, we look like little robot things that you... Not even robots, the old toys that you used to wind up and have a spring and we go around like that. That's what we're like compared to angels. If we ever saw an angel, and we will see angels someday, but if we saw them in this realm, we would probably do what all the people in the Bible did. Hit the dirt. They are so fabulous and so beautiful, so powerful looking that we would just be beside ourselves. They're not the little fat babies with the little short wings where you say these are cherubs. Why is that? That the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. So we have no power in the spiritual realm in and of ourselves, do we? What do we bring to the party? We bring something to the party. What is it? Our positive volition. That's all we have to offer, isn't it? And you might think, well, I don't know so much about that. Well, if you think there's anything more that you bring to the party than positive volition, then you're not grace-oriented. And unfortunately, you'll never have an inheritance in heaven because you're still thinking something depends on you. The only thing you have is your positive volition, but we don't want to minimize that. That is extremely important. That's what the game is all about, isn't it? John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Could he make it more plainer than that? We are totally dependent upon God and his provision, not only in the spiritual realm, but in the physical realm as well, but only it's more obvious in the spiritual realm. That what can we do? All believers are fit for heaven, but not all are fit, that would be qualified, to receive an inheritance in heaven. Do you get that? All believers are fit for heaven. They're qualified for heaven. Every one of them. The worst believer that ever was. I don't know who they are. But they're fit for heaven. Now, if I was asking you why, what does a person have, even the worst believer who ever was, what does he have that qualifies him for heaven? At least two things. Can you name two things that he needs in order to be qualified for heaven? Can somebody give me one? What? Oh, I'm here. Yeah, he needs righteousness, right? And what else does he need to have eternal life? He's got to be as good as God is, and he's got to live as long as God is, or will, if we're going to share heaven with him. And God provides both of those at the moment of what? Faith in Christ. So these are two things that every believer has. They have a lot more than that, but those are the two most obvious ones. But does that make them fit and qualified to inherit heaven? No. You've heard us say over and over, they would be qualified to inhabit heaven, but not inherit. Not all believers are going to inherit heaven. They'll all inhabit heaven, but not inherit it. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 17. Boy, what a verse. Turn in your Bibles. You don't want to miss this one. Romans chapter 8. Verse 16. Do you know that my mother-in-law thought so much of Romans chapter 8 that she asked that it be read at the gravesite, the whole chapter. And I did her funeral, and there was another pastor that did the gravesite, and he read the entire chapter. And she is right. It is a most powerful chapter. But verse 16 starts out by saying, the Spirit Himself testifies. Now, what can you tell by that already? There's people who think that the Spirit really is not a person. It's not a member of the Trinity, the triunity. That it's just a force that emanates from God. Well, this is a personal pronoun, isn't it? Himself, not itself. So we notice something right off the bat. And this isn't the only place. Throughout the Bible, we find that the Holy Spirit is often referred to in a personal pronoun. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, and we are children of God, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Good news, right? What's the next word? If. The little two-letter word, if. If indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So we see here that we are children of God. There's no doubt about that. And we're also heirs of God and heirs of Christ. But that there's a condition on that one. If we suffer with him. So, are there children of God who don't suffer with Him? I'm going to show you later, it could be translated, suffer for Him. Are there? Well, that's probably describing most believers, isn't it? It's only the ones who suffer with Christ that are going to be heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Those are the ones that are going to do the inheriting. Now, I didn't put the next verse in here. I think I did, but it didn't wind up on here. So, in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, look at verse 18. I wish I had put it on here. Because an issue of the two, you could blip of time compared what God has awaiting for us in heaven as an inheritance. He's saying, we're going to look back and think, we're getting all of this for that little bit of that? That's the perspective that we need, because we need to endure. And apart from that perspective, you're not going to endure. Okay, so this got me rolling on, I put a heading on this, suffering and inheriting. The rest of tonight, we're going to talk about suffering and inheriting to get a perspective, because a lot of times people don't think of suffering being connected to inheriting in eternity. But the Bible has a lot to say about that, so I think it's proper for us to handle it here. Notice that suffering is linked to inheritance. We just saw it in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 through 18. One of the qualifications to be glorified with Christ, which includes receiving rewards and decorations, is to suffer with Him, or we could say to suffer for Him. Suffering for Him is to make an issue of who He is and what He said, which is in the Word. No one likes to suffer. Some suffering cannot be avoided, such as sickness and accidents. But some can. There's some kind of suffering that we can avoid. Let me say something about that. Most people want to be comfortable in this life. They want to avoid any suffering. They want to take the line of least resistance. And they will never make a stand on anything because it can be uncomfortable. It can cause you to suffer. It can cause you to be ostracized and all kinds of things. So there's a lot of believers out there that they think, I'm going to make this life as easy and as cushy as I possibly can. Because if I can do that, then I'm going to be happier than if I have to suffer. And that is pure 100% human viewpoint, and it stinketh. Our goal is not to get through this life with the least amount of suffering. We're going to bring enough suffering on ourselves anyway. But if we're going to suffer, then we want to suffer for the kind that counts, the kind of suffering that counts. Standing for doctrine, standing for Christ, and not budge in this postmodern society we live in. So in today's postmodern society, anyone who makes a dogmatic assertion based on the Bible will probably come under some form of verbal attack. People will try to humiliate you and make you feel like an outcast, a weirdo, or a fool. They may mock you, laugh at you, and talk about you behind your back. That isn't possible. That is probable. I'm right on the verge of saying it's a certainty. I won't go that far, but I'll say it's a very strong possibility. And who wants to take on that baggage? I mean, aren't we all just trying to get through this life? Kind of like Rodney King? Can't we all just get along? Can't life just be a bed of roses? No, it can't. That's fairy tales. We live in a sin-sick, fallen world. We live in the devil's playground. enemy territory. What makes you think you can get through this life without suffering? Did I say something wrong? I'm just going to press on. We might have just lost everybody that was listening. I don't know. I'm not here, but out there, who knows? All of this can be avoided by keeping your mouth shut and not making a biblical stand about anything. You can avoid this kind of suffering. If you never witness to anyone and never invite anyone to church, you never have to suffer rejection. Guys, well, all these guys are already pretty much taken and been there. But the younger guys know that if they don't ask a girl out, they won't get rejected. Does that stop them? No. They ask girls out all the time because they think it's worth it. Don't you think it's worth being rejected in order to give somebody a shot at heaven instead of the lake of fire? Every believer has a choice to make. We can choose to go through life avoiding the kind of suffering that is avoidable. There is that kind of suffering that we can avoid, suffering for Christ. Or we can choose to stand firm for Christ and for righteousness and suffer the consequences. That's the choice that we make every day. The question is it worth it? Is it worth it to face those consequences when we stick our neck out and stand for what's right and for Jesus Christ and for the Word of God? Is it worth it? Now, we all have to weigh these things in our own soul. And I know you do it. I do it. Is it worth it? If it's not worth it, why do it? I mean, let's be practical about this. Nobody wants to take on extra suffering and be ostracized. Why would anyone want to do that? The answer is because it's worth it. Here's some scriptures to prove it. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Well, we just did that one. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled. So when you are a good ambassador and you are making an issue about Jesus Christ, the gospel and the Word of God and righteousness, all these things, this says you're blessed, and don't be afraid of their intimidation, and don't be troubled when they come back at you and they attack you verbally and maybe at some point physically as well. Don't be concerned about it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed once every other month. No? Day by day. Do you know that's all that any of us have is a day at a time? You know the Bible doesn't guarantee you tomorrow. It's just a day at a time. If any of you have ever been at funerals that I do, you may notice that when I do the obituary, I always add something, and I give the amount of days that these people lived, because that's really what they did. They lived it one day at a time. And sometimes it might be 10,562 days or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. But that's why I do it, because we don't live in weeks or months or years. We live in days. And that's all we know. God gave us this day, and that's all we have. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so we renew the inner man day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond comparison. Oh, I don't have that up there. I thought I had it up there. When was the last time y'all saw something on here? Okay. Where was it? Back here? Well, we'll just pick it up here anyway. Okay, I want to, first of all, compare something. Momentary compared with eternal, light affliction compared with a weight of glory. Paul was writing this. Have you ever seen him? And there's another part of the scripture where he is describing his light affliction, being beat on numerous occasions, being hungry, being naked, bobbing like a cork out in the ocean, out in the Mediterranean Sea on more than one occasion. I mean, the things that he went through, I doubt that any of us in our whole lifetime will go through just the things that he went through many times. And what is he calling it here? Light affliction as compared to an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now, this is God revealing something to us. Do you believe it? Do you believe it enough to where you're going to make decisions that will cause you to suffer, but it doesn't matter because you know the consequences are nothing compared to what the heavy weight of glory that God has for those who stand their ground. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Inner man. Outer man. What am I looking at? What are you looking at? You're looking at the outer man. And as hard as we try, and we've got a lot of things that we can do to make the outer man look better. And I'm not going to make a distinction for the females because last time I did it, and it just didn't. I get in trouble. But even the guys too. I mean, we look as good as we can. I mean, it's whatever that is. And we do health things. We try to eat right, and we try to take pills and vitamins and all these things. And I don't want it to be depressing, but this body's turning back to dirt sometime. That is, not necessarily, though. We might be that generation when Christ returns. It won't turn into dirt. It's going to turn into a resurrection body. But apart from that, even you ladies that are just amazingly beautiful are going to turn back to dirt. That's the decaying of the inner man. And that's enough to depress anybody, I guess. If that's all that we had, wouldn't it be depressing? The outer man, thank you. The outer man. It's hard enough for me as the weeks and years go by and I get up there to shave and I go, man. It would be depressing, except, you see what it says here? The inner man is being renewed day by day. And you know who you are? You're not the house that I'm looking at. Y'all are just the house you live in. The real you is that invisible part that I can't see. But that's the real you. And isn't it wonderful to know that that inner man can be renewed day by day? Every day you can have that inner man renewed. But I'm telling you, you cannot do it apart from the Word of God. It won't happen. You can be youthful, vibrant, full of zeal inside. And that's where the real test is. Don't let the outer body get you down. Have y'all seen this? I know Garth hadn't seen it because he hadn't seen inside of a computer. Or the outside of the computer. Oh, he saw one the other day. Okay. There's a picture that went viral. And it's this wife, and she's a beautiful woman, and she's carrying her husband. And when I saw the picture the first time, he is literally with his arms around her neck. He is on her back, and his legs are going around her waist, right about like that. And the picture was taken from that point up, and it said it went viral. And I thought, why? I mean, she's pretty, and he. Then I saw it today. I saw a full-length picture of it. His legs from the knees down are gone. They were blown off by an IED in Iraq. And so the photographer asked them to go out into the water to get a picture. And, I mean, you know, like maybe ankle deep or knee deep or whatever. And so she had to carry her husband on her back to get out in the water to take that picture. And wonderful looking couple. And the reason it went viral is the love that that wife had for her husband. And the reason I'm telling you this, because it didn't matter to her whether he didn't have both legs. Because that's the outer man. That's the outer body. What she loved, obviously, was on the inside. And that inside is, that's for all of us. And we have to have the inside packaged in something. I guess we'd be a lot of blobs just bumping into each other or something. We got to have this outer man. But it's the inner man, and it's so great to know that that inner man can be renewed. It doesn't matter what's happening to the outside. It's going to essentially degrade back into dirt sometime. But it's the inner man. That's the ball game. And for us to know that we can renew it every single day, we need to renew it every single day. What a blessing is that? And by the way, you don't have to be old. You don't have to have a decrepit body. You don't have to have wrinkles and gray hair and less hair and everything else going on in your life in order to need that inner man be renewed day by day. Young people, teenagers, they need that renewing every day as well, because when this soul carried by this body goes out into this wicked, evil, very cruel world, it needs to be recharged. It needs to be renewed, the inner man. And that's what the Word of God does, because it's alive and powerful. I just love this verse, don't you? That's a potential. Being renewed day by day. How does one renew something? What is this talking about, being renewed day by day? It's talking about this. It's talking about the Word of God. It doesn't have to be a book nowadays. It can be on the internet. It can be on an iPhone. It can be on an iPod. It can be on a computer. It can be on a cassette tape. It can be on the radio. It can be on the TV. It can be face-to-face. There's all these ways to get it. And there's no excuse for people today not renewing the inner man day by day by getting their daily dose of doctrine. It's not that, oh yeah, I can check my doctrine off. I got that today. Now what else is on my list? You need it like you need the air you breathe. Because apart from getting that spiritual nourishment that revives your soul, gives you that divine perspective that you can see life as it truly is. Apart from that, you're going down. All of us are going down. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. I've got this really just the middle verse. There's a verse before it and a verse after it that is important as well that a lot of people misconstrue and get out of context. But this is enough for us for what we're dealing with. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, "If we endure, we will also reign with Him." Doesn't that mean if we endure trials? If we endure life's exigencies over the long haul? If we keep taking in doctrine, applying doctrine to our circumstances, and we continue to grow spiritually over the long haul, if we endure, we will also reign with Him. What is reigning with Him? Isn't that a reward for faithfulness? Of course it is. This verse is not about eternal salvation. It's not salvific. It is experiential. And reigning with Him means you're an inheritor, which is what our verse is about, being qualified to inherit. But if we deny Him, and believers have, you have this potential, I have this potential. Every believer under a certain set of circumstances has the potential to deny God, to deny Christ. Even some will deny the faith. But it doesn't matter, because look what this last part says. He will also deny us. What is He going to deny us? 9 out of 10 Christians will say He'll deny us heaven, and we can't go to heaven if we deny Him. What was it in the same sentence? Was it talking about a reward? He will deny us rewards. And the next verse says that He is faithful. He cannot deny Himself. What does it mean, deny Himself? Well, He's already given you eternal life. He's already given you God's own righteousness. He can't deny that. The gift and calling of God is irrevocable. He can't take it back. Salvation is a gift. Therefore, it's irrevocable. He can't deny that. So that's not about, this isn't about denying Him and He's going to deny you and you're not going to go to heaven. But you can deny Him. You can take the easy road and avoid the type of suffering that is avoidable. And that is tantamount to denying Him. And if you do that, then He's going to deny you. He is going to deny you the rewards, decorations, and privileges and opportunities that you could have had for all eternity, but you blew it on earth. This is a long verse. Can y'all handle this one more verse on this? Okay. We're close to being out of time, but we'll try to squeeze this one in. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. Let's go to this verse. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Your testing. You know what? I don't have any more control of having a say in when I'm going to be tested and when I'm not in this life any more than I did of Mr. Brazier, my algebra teacher. And he was famous for, okay, pop quiz today. Never knew what was going to happen. And you know why he did that? We'd have to be prepared all the time. And after all these years, I still have no more control over the real tests of life. I don't know when they're going to happen, but I know they're going to happen. I better be prepared. So, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing. Now, I want you to underline testing. That's what this is about. As though some strange thing were happening to you. Oh, when it happens to us, it's strange. It's unique. It never happened to anybody else ever. I mean, that's what we are prone to think, especially teenagers. They have to learn when they are in that adolescent stage that there is going to be testing, and the first thing that comes out of their mouth is the first thing that enters their head, but it's not fair. Aha, you're growing up. Life is not fair. And you're going to be tested. The question is, how are you going to handle that testing? Verse 13, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation. But do you notice this? To the degree that you share His suffering. There's degrees. Heaven is not going to be equal employment. What is it? An equal opportunity and employment and all, it is not equal. To the degree that you choose to to stand for Christ, to stand for His Word, take on those consequences because you know that it's worth it, to whatever degree you do that, then you should keep on rejoicing so that at the revelation of His glory. What is it talking about when He's saying the revelation of His glory? A technical term. What is it called? The rapture. When Jesus Christ returns. Actually, for us, it's the rapture. But in this context, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation. Actually, the revelation of His glory is going to be the second advent because that's when His glory is going to be manifested. But for us, it's going to be a glorious thing for the rapture when He returns then. But you see, the reason I think that this is talking about the revelation of His glory, rejoicing also at the revelation of His glory, you will rejoice at exultation, because when He comes back, the second advent, 7 years after the tribulation begins, what's going to take place is He's coming back, what, in glory. He's the Lion of Judah. He came as the virgin, from the virgin birth as a baby, but He's coming back as a roaring lion in His glory. And guess who's coming with Him? We are, and some of us are going to be sharing His glory. And I'd like to say that, according to Revelation chapter 20, that we're going to be riding white horses as well. But I'm tempted to say that I think some of them will really be riding white donkeys. I can't say it, but I just did though, didn't I? I'm not going to contradict the Bible. But some of them are going to come back on. I know what Christ's horse is looking like. At least I think I know what it's going to look like. Have you ever seen Pegasus? If you ever seen, is it Orion movies that it turns into a deal, it turns into a horse that leaps out with a white horse with wings. Every time Carrie and I are at a movie and that horse comes, we look at each other and we just nod. We think, huh, that's Christ's horse right there. That's a magnificent creature. Okay, they won't be white riding white donkeys, probably. It doesn't say donkeys, it says horses. And I've had people, do you think that's really horses or... I'm not going to get into that, but I'm kind of sorry I brought up the donkey thing. Are you going to be rejoicing also at the revelation of His glory and may rejoice in exultation? If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. And that's not going to happen if you're going to take the easy road. If you're going to try to dodge all of the things that might be unpleasant. If you want to be a poor ambassador for Christ, this isn't for you because there are consequences. Christ said there's consequences. They hated me, they're going to hate you also. Just go out anywhere today and make a stand about homosexuality and say it's repugnant to God, it's a sin, it's an abomination. See how popular you're going to be. Making a stand. You have choices every day. You can look for opportunities to witness to people. And if you do, you're going to be rejected. If you're so concerned about the consequences, don't do it and you won't be rejected. And I want to say you can be riding a donkey, but I won't. You won't be rejoicing and sharing God's glory when He comes for all eternity. No, and what are you going to do when you're standing before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, which all of us will, and He says, okay, what did you do with all the grace I gave you and all the years I gave you and all the blessings I gave you? All these things I gave to you, what did you do with it? Well, I told you one thing for sure. I said we weren't going to get past that phrase, didn't I? I had that one right. Okay. Remember that this Sunday is going to be Communion Sunday. And we'll have the communion supper following. I also want to say, and I'm going to say this Sunday also, the Sunday after this one, I'm going to start the Star series, God's Message in the Stars. This is an excellent time for you to ask someone who might not know anything about the Bible. They might not have any doctrine. They might not even be a believer. But they can get on the ground floor of something that is so interesting. And they don't have to have a lot of doctrine to follow. We're pretty much everybody's going to be on the same level when we start this series. And this is exposing them to the great things that God has done. And that might be just the key to get them interested in the Word of God. But they won't know about it if you don't tell them. Now, if you tell them, you're probably going to be rejected, or they're going to make up some kind of excuse or something. But you're not responsible for their excuses. You're not responsible for their rejection, because they're really not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord. So this is an excellent time, I'm telling you, way ahead of time, to start asking people now and give them a date and see what happens. Let's close. Father, thank you for this time. We are so thankful of who and what you are and your mighty word, that we can perceive, that we can understand, that we can have hope and confidence, that we can someday look forward to an inheritance in glory that lasts for all eternity. We pray that that will drive us, that that will motivate us to be willing to suffer whatever comes our way for being good and faithful servants. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.